It's not that good. Like, I was kind of guilty watching it, and then thinking back, it's fucking bad.
I just want to know what happens.
I just
want to
watch May make out. Like, that's all I cared about in the show. Everything else, I'm like,
so perverted reasons.
Yeah. No, it had definitely been better.
Welcome to the Anime Summit Podcast. My name is Nick the Sick, and with me I have Danny the Uncanny.
Hello.
And Sam the word you don't say at an airport.
Hey, bitch. Bitches.
And we're talking about the winter 2018 anime season. What do we like? What do we hate? What made us masturbate? All right.
What made us masturbate?
There's
so
my
doing our
corny
review.
Rhymes.
We already did our first impressions and mid impressions. This is the review for winter.
This is our final thoughts.
Yeah, so this is actually our final form.
This is actually our final
Frieza form. Style.
So just like a really quick disclaimer, okay? Because we recorded twice this week, one without Nick and this one with Nick. So it's going to sound weird because next week's episode is going to sound like we're a blast from the past, even though that's like not the case.
Yeah, I fucking told you guys not to do news on that episode.
We didn't do news on that episode.
Oh, well, shit. Okay, disregard that. Sam, edit me out so I don't look stupid, all right?
Well,
okay.
We kind of did news.
Okay, edit me back in so that I sound smart.
Edit me back in. Anyways, don't worry about it. It's all good, but it just might sound a little weird. But anyway, Nick is dying, and we are...
Yeah, I have like 10 stages of the same fucking cold. It's bullshit.
10 stages?
I'm like the healthiest person, and then I get this bullshit cold. It's fucking gay.
So we don't have too much
Not
news.
Not there's anything wrong with that, but okay.
We don't have too much news this week just because we like to have more time to talk about the main topic when it's these seasonal wrap-ups. So, but I did say this on next week's episode, but I'll say it again. Isao Takahata passed away this past weekend, and it was very sad. He was 82.
It's more of like a celebration, though. He lived a long life. He did a lot of stuff.
Yeah, man,
he was
did
really,
a lot of stuff.
You know, like the ideal human, basically. I don't know about that, but he was the ideal creator, you know.
He did a lot of stuff. He's been nominated for Academy Awards. He did directed Grave of the Fireflies only yesterday, Pompoko, Tale of Princess Kaguya, co-founder of Ghibli. You all know that. We talked about him a lot in our
He also did Heidi of the Alps, Anne of Green Gables, some of those Masterpiece Theater shows, which I need to watch Heidi. Oh, my. I heard that one's like fucking awesome. So, yeah. It's supposed to be literally a classic.
Didn't he also help do Little Nemo, Adventures in Slumberland?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that shit was great. I saw that. I used to watch that shit as a kid.
I might be reading something different, but you're probably right. But yeah, Isao Takahata, one of the GOATs, one of the greatest anime directors of all time, R.I.P.
So, Mr. Takahata, the rest of April's episodes that we do the rest of this month, they're all for you, buddy. We love you, and rest in paradise. Oh, God!
R.I.P.
You got the water words. Okay, someone talk. Someone say something.
That's all we have for news, really.
Yeah, like I said, we like
some other stuff went on, but we're just gonna slide past it.
Hey! Overwatch Retribution started yesterday, so you should play games.
Let's
play games together this weekend, yo! And I play Overwatch on PC. Anyone? There's people on Discord I play with, but if you don't play with us, you should. All right.
I play on PS4.
Oh yeah, and then Danny plays on PS4. So if you got PS4 Overwatch. Booyah!
Hit me up. We can play.
But hit us up on Discord, and you can play with us. And you can find the Discord links at Anime Summit on Twitter, in the bio, and you can also find links to other stuff there, like our YouTube, youtube.com/AnimeSummit, and then from there you can find our extra channel, Anime Summit Extra, and then in the video descriptions, you can also find links to the Discord. So you should come to the Discord, come hang out with us. And
it's a lot of fun.
Yep, and
we do a lot of fun and things. We got a manga book club going on.
Oh yes, we are reading. We are reading. Oh My Goddess.
Oh My Goddess. So, and our first meeting is going to be the 19th, so next week.
Yeah. So if you want to be in that book club, all you got to do is read up to chapter 15, and there's that, and we'll be on the Discord, and you can talk to us on the manga discussion channel. And all that stuff. And then, also, too, friendly reminder, just in case people don't know, we are on iTunes, Google Play, and any podcast that we're on Libsyn RSS feed, so any podcast app that you have on your Android, your Droid phone. And we come out every Thursday and every following weekend on YouTube, so keep that in mind. And then also, I think Nick brought up to me about a month ago, and somebody else on the Discord said to me that we should be on SoundCloud. If you think that is like I should do that, we should do that, then please let us know. Please tell us, and I will make that happen. We will make that happen for sure. Anyway, on to the main topic. Actually, before the main topic, we do the waifu of the season.
And husbando.
Of the season.
Yeah, boy.
Of the Sith.
Of the season.
Okay, so here's the thing. I didn't want to say Bone Daddy again because that was a leftover show. But what do you guys got?
I got Akira Tachibana from After the Rain. And
yes.
Saida-san from Gakuen Babysitters.
And Akira's the guy, right? No, it's just
no, the girl. There's a character named Akira in Devilman Crybaby, I think. Which, mm-hmm. Sam, you didn't specify what your
character was. That's who I put from Devilman Crybaby. Actually, for husbando, I'll say Devilman. Because.
All right.
I like evilly sexy things. And I also put 02 for waifu, because again I like evil, sexy.
Because clearly she's evil.
Well, I'm just saying because she got them horns.
She's an oni, a red oni.
She is. Yeah, she's super.
I just realized that Sam's pick are they both got horns.
Yeah, because I like sexy.
Yeah. All right. Evil.
Speaking of fucking horns,
Pop Team Epic throwing up the birds at you. Popoko and PBMe, those are mine. Husbandos and waifus. Fuck it.
Fuck.
Because they're voiced by males and females. Because the show is just that good.
I have that show on hold. I probably will give that show a chance.
Hey, good segue. This season, for me personally, was the season of holds. The season of, I'm going to put that one on hold. For me, anyway.
Cryptocurrency style? You're just going to hold all the time?
Let's put it on hold.
So
hold that Bitcoin.
Let's put it on hold.
So you just want to run down the malice how we always do it, or what? And we can obviously skip a lot of these now that we've dropped, you know, whatever.
We could do that, or we could do it however you guys want.
No, let's just go down the malice, you know? Let's just talk about the ones we finished, and, you know, we can mention ones that we put on hold, like, towards the end or whatever, you know? And
ones that are still continuing.
Yeah, or we can mention the ones we put on hold, like, as we go down it, whatever. But anyway, listen, the first one, obviously, is Violet Evergarden. That just came on Netflix as well.
U.S. Netflix. It was on,
in the U.S.
It was on every
US
other
Netflix,
but... Fucking
oh yeah,
evil,
you're right.
The
no,
evil
you're
tyrants
right.
of Disney probably had their little greasy paws in this.
I always forget to say that because
I just assume Disney does it.
Because we have an awesome group of listeners, an awesome bunch of listeners in Canada as well. So their shit's always different than ours. But anyway, by KyoAni, 13 episodes, fantasy drama, and
yeah,
about...
yeah, some the people know what it is. Shit.
Okay,
what
don't
do you
undermine
think?
Me during the podcast anymore, because you're gonna make me sound stupid, I'm already stupid, so you're just making me sound more stupid. Okay, everyone.
Sam, you're not stupid.
Okay, everyone. Nick wipes his bow with his hand. There we go. Now we're even. Anyway,
feels good, man.
Violet Evergarden. So here's the thing, right? We got mad hype about this show. Okay, you can listen to episodes.
Greatest
like...
preview video ever made for an
yeah.
anime. I don't even think it's close.
I remember we did news section. We covered this in news sections from like 20 episodes ago, saying, "Guys, Violet Evergarden, Violet Evergarden."
Oh.
Yeah, and then me, Nick, and Matt just kept going.
The hype was real.
Me, Nick, and Matt just kept going. Oh. Oh. And Koka got really mad, which is fucking hilarious. But like, I mean, now the question is, did it live up to that? How we were hyping it for our listeners and for ourselves? Like,
yes and no.
Okay, why do you say that? Because I might agree with you, like 100%.
Basically. Violet Evergarden, you know, it's adapting that first part of the novel. So, like, they added in, like, these filler episodes, these anime original episodes at the beginning. And then they got into, like, the meat of it near the middle or whatever.
The
so
meat.
Those, like, first few episodes were honestly some of the weaker ones.
They were pretty slow.
Yeah. And then
yeah.
By the time you got to episode, I don't remember if episode 5 was anime original or not, but the one with the princess, that one was really good. I love the ending on that one.
Yeah, I liked that one too.
Like that one, there's like so here's how you can watch
that one and the one with the mom and her daughter.
Yeah, yeah, those are some of the best.
That
ones.
One made me cry.
So like it's like episodes like 5, 8, and 10, I think, were like the best ones. And honestly, here's how a new viewer could watch Violet Evergarden. Just literally just watch the best episodes. And forget everything else, because like that's all you need from the show. The ending was a little bit anticlimactic and weird. Like they kind of rushed through this like war drama thing for
like
two
her
episodes
past or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, they're like fighting on a train with these fucking random ass dudes who like know something about
fighting
the major.
On a train
or whatever.
With these random ass dudes.
Yeah, disclaimer, I've been in a fucking fugue for like 3 weeks, so I'm not going to get any details right on some of these shows, so bear with me, but...
No, yeah, no, we'll cut you slack, we got you.
Yeah, like, the other episode, the great episode with the father and the daughter, or the deceased daughter, and you know, there's like that one, the princess one, the one, and the one that Danny mentioned. Those are like three of the best ones. I think there's another one or two that are really great as well, but like, those are like peak... you know, top tier right there. But then a lot of the other stuff is just kind of, yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
I agree with everything you just said.
Yeah. I didn't really like, I don't know. I didn't really, for this one, I didn't really pay attention to the hype too much because I knew I wanted to watch it when it was on Netflix. So, because I knew that there were more other shows that I really wanted to keep up on, and this was definitely the type of show that I wanted to take my time on and not have to worry about it week to week. Mm-hmm. I much rather have all the episodes there for me.
Yeah.
So.
Well, me and Nick and Mac in the corner. Just like, oh.
Yeah. While you guys just rush in and
we're hitting,
you know,
the nut
just do
button.
A cannonball in the pool.
I think what Nick said real quick before we, you know, I don't know what anyone else has to say about it, but I think what Nick said earlier, you could literally just watch, like, maybe the first episodes you see her go into the company, and then just the best ones, because it's kind of episodic. Like, you know, she joins the company or whatever, and then she goes and does these different jobs every episode, and then they sprinkle in a little bit of her past and whatever, and then at the end they just kind of rush through it. But, yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I think, obviously, the animation speaks volumes.
Well, like it's like the best TV animation that I've seen.
For sure.
Pretty
for
much.
Sure. For sure. I think it's a very nice...
It was well animated. It was very nice. It was very clean.
I think the my favorite parts about it are the connections between her and the people she does the jobs for and the test of the human spirit to her and stuff like that. But right. Yeah, I think I still agree with Nick's Seldom review of it, for sure. But yeah, Violet Evergarden. I think it's on Netflix for U.S., sorry, U.S. Netflix. I think it's worth a watch.
Pretty much.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere,
now.
Yeah. It's everywhere.
Everywhere.
So
hashtag
anyway,
6 out of 10.
Check it out.
All right, Violet moving on.
Animation. Booyah. Blah, blah, blah. Darling.
Oh, my God. You guys just, like, lagged so fucking hard for me.
I think you
said an entire sentence that I didn't hear.
That's not good. Do you want?
Well,
whatever. Just fucking cut it and start with the next one.
Okay.
Let's give like our scores for Violet Evergarden. Do we want to give scores or why not? Like
I gave it.
I wouldn't mind.
I gave it an 8. Just because of everything else that it was, like animation wise and design was amazing, and just the other like. Themes. I gave it a pretty high score just because of those things.
What would you give it on the Nabisco scale?
Straight up? I'd probably give it a golden stuffed Oreo, so not a full Oreo.
And not a full Oreo, okay.
Yeah.
I gave Violet a 7 on Mal, so... Because, I mean, I don't know. I didn't really, like, I enjoyed it. But at the same time, the pace throughout the whole show was kind of laggy for me. It was very calm and stuff, which I don't mind, you know.
Yeah.
So, but that was pretty much its flaw for me. But, I mean, on the Nabisco scale, I'd probably... I'd give it a Nutter Butter.
Yeah.
Nutter Butter for me.
We're just going to go down the list. 6 out of 10. 8, 7, 6. Because it's the same problem as Clannad After Story. It has like a few really, really great episodes. And then, you know, other parts of it are just like not, they're just average. And it's like, it brings it down for me. Yeah, you know, obviously a different show, but like, yeah, you know, 6 out of 10 hashtag 6 out of 10. It's hard for me to give something to 7. So
it's hard to give anything higher compared to
I'm really goddamn I am entitled, Danny. All right.
I know you
I
are.
Need perfection.
I did not oppose.
anyway. Nabisco. I don't know. Some kind of Teddy Graham that's like pretty good, you know.
Some kind of
chocolate chip Teddy Graham.
Yeah, they're OG pretty good sometimes. You know, the first few tastes fucking great, but you know.
All right, so Violet Evergarden. Check it out. Next is do we really want this one's not done yet? It's gonna go into the next. So we don't.
Yeah,
have to
Darling
talk
and the Franks. We're gonna fucking talk about. Fuck you, son. We're talking about it.
Oh,
Darling in the Franks.
I dropped it. All right, Danny dropped it.
What about you, Sam?
I am not caught up because I thought we'd wait to talk about it, but if you want to be a bitch about it, that's fine. Stupid.
Okay, well, I'll keep it short and sweet. Other people talk. If you want like a really good analysis, check out the ANN cast. They talk about it a lot.
Dude.
Well, they like joke about it too. I mean, okay, look, Darling in the Franks, popular ass fucking show. A1 Picture Trigger. It's a mecha show similar to Evangelion with all these like weird ass themes and, you know, these young kids piloting these mechs for some unknown reason because it's basically an anime meme that the kids have to pilot the mechs. And Darling in the Franks is like basically about. Too many different like things. It's trying to go in so many different directions. It's about like, oh, gender roles, like male and female have to be together, but, or do they? Oh, okay. Now it's about, you know, breaking down the system. Now we have to, like, you know, get out of this dystopia that the adults created for us, and we gotta, you know, fight off this, this, external Klaxosaur threat, and then, you know, and then they're doing experimentation on Zero Two, and there's a bunch of stuff going on, but, like, the problem with Darling the Franks for me, the reason that I have it at a 5 out of 10, hashtag 5 out of 10, is that the characters are shitty. Like, you might not want to hear this, but, like, Ichigo and, I guess, like, sort of Zero Two a little bit are, like, really the only, what's the word? I can't think of the word. Charismatic or, like, relatable characters, sort of, in the show, partway, partly. Hiro is just kind of this, you know, this fucking MC coon who's, he has the A1 Pictures face. He basically looks like Kirito. And he, like, him, and then you have, like, Mitsuru, you have the fat kid, what's his name? Which, I feel like they only put him in there to... to, like, make jokes at his expense. It's like, why? All right. Just fucking pick on him. All right. Yeah, Futoshi. More like Futoshi. You know what I'm saying? Anyway.
Food.
He's always eating. And you know, like... It,
oh, my God.
Okay, basically, yeah, you got all these characters. And they're going through this stuff. They're, you know, they're trying to figure shit out. And it's just like... get to the fucking point, darling. We're 13 episodes in, and finally episodes 12 and 13 got, like, they started going somewhere in a direction. 13 just happened recently at the time of this recording, where, like, they, Hiro finds out about Zero Two in his past, and it's kind of like a flashback type episode, and it, you know, goes into when they're kids, and, like, that's kind of interesting. But what is the point of the show? Like, what is it trying to even say? We don't even know. 13 fucking episodes in. It's just like a mystery box.
And you still don't know, yeah.
Clusterfuck. Like, I'm sorry, but it's not that good of a show. And even if it improves, which hopefully it does, it's not, you know, it's got that low ceiling just because of the first fucking half of it is like, why do you need all this? You don't need it. So, I don't know. Just me, a little crappy sick rant from Nick, who can't really think. So yeah, Darling in the Cucks.
The Cucks.
Well, that's another theme. That's another theme of the show, is just everybody just gets cucked, like every other episode.
Wow.
Okay. I'm not even exaggerating. That's like literally what happens.
Okay. I am only about 4 episodes behind it, so, but I'm going to continue watching it. I got to tell you, though, it is a bit hard because I still don't know what's going on either.
Yeah, because it's fucking shitty writing, that's why.
Yeah, it's not doing very well of telling me
and
what's
people
going
are
going
to be like, well, it has good animation, it has good moments. Sure, it has a couple
of
good isolated
moments. The design
moments.
And look of it is super cool, but... I don't know.
I don't even like the Franks designs that much. They're all right.
I don't like how they have to pilot them. I think that's super stupid.
That's why I dropped it. I was like, no, I can't do this.
Bend over so I can tickle your booty.
Yeah.
That'll make this robot
though,
go.
Yeah,
well, that's the
even
joke.
That, like,
every mecha show is a
mine,
sex metaphor, so.
Yeah. Even though, like, a friend of mine, my friend Derek, like, he's watching the show, and he said... And he wasn't sure how he felt about the cockpit and everything, like, of the mechs and everything like that. So, but he told me that the plot and, like, the sex undertones kind of, like, get toned down.
Yeah, they do.
Further in the episode, like, later, like, further into the show. So, and, like, he's enjoying it and stuff. But
I mean, it's a watchable show. There's always something to, like, talk about, but
right,
you know, it's just it's not very cohesive yet.
Yeah.
Halfway through the show,
right,
which is like unforgivable to me. And I, you know, I'm just here pooping on it. It has a lot of good points. That's really cool, like costume designs and like style and all that. But anyway, Darling in the Franxx, hashtag 5 out of 10.
Put that on the table. We'll come back to it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it some more
in a few weeks. Anyway, moving right along. I didn't watch Overlord 2 because I didn't finish the first one.
It wasn't.
Yet. I didn't finish.
Yeah,
the
like
first
the thing
one.
About Overlord 2,
the first one, so.
I finished it. They didn't have enough of Ainz, the main character. He was in some of the early parts of the Lizards, but like, he was kind of barely in this season. And actually, I think this has a lower score than its prequel.
Back in the day, the boys told me not to watch it, so I was like, okay, I won't watch it then. And then I never watched it because you told me not to, so now I'm all mad. I'm salty.
I mean, you would probably like it, so
it's on Hulu.
I don't know.
It's on Hulu.
Put a little salt on my fries then.
I think you would like it.
Yeah, because Nick is the only person who gives me good recommendations.
Yeah, I watched the first season a little bit because it's on Hulu, so... And from how I'm watching it, it's pretty interesting, you know. Guarantee, like I still don't understand the whole MMO community, but it's still an enjoyable show to watch.
Yeah,
That's just how I feel.
Okay, yeah. The problem with season two though is like they just go into these fucking side characters who are like, I don't give a shit about this character.
Side bitches, yeah.
You know, keep it on the skeleton guy. You know, shit. Keep He's overpowered as fuck. Just let him fight.
I want to watch him kick ass. Okay. Well, I'll give that a watch then. I will do that because I feel like I would like that too. Anyway, I don't think anyone watched Seven Deadly Sins, right? No one's on that hype train, right?
Not yet. I'm not watching that yet. I'm not waiting for it to go on Netflix.
Coolio. Yeah, because it is on Budflix.
Yeah.
Citrus.
I dropped it.
Yeah,
dropped it.
It's not that good. Like, I was kind of guilty watching it, and then thinking back, it's fucking bad.
Well, I just want to know what happens.
I just
want to
watch May make out. Like, that's all I cared about in the show. Everything else, I'm like,
so perverted reasons.
Yeah. No, it had nothing besides that.
Maybe you should read the manga, Nick.
Probably.
It'll probably have, like, a lot more sexy scenes in the manga than in the show. Because that's what usually happens in yaoi, yaoi series. Like, they really, like, tone down on, like, the sex scenes. Like, there are barely any sex scenes in some of the shows that I watch, so. But the mangas are like... fucking rated X, like you wouldn't believe. Rated XXX
for Citrus.
Oh, I don't know. Oh. I have no idea.
Danny's just talking about yaoi, aka the only thing she cares about.
I love yaoi. Should read more of it.
Yeah, I mean, Citrus was just kind of like, it's just a bunch of forced bullshit characters.
I just
want to
know do they get together in the end? Do they do it? Like,
I mean,
kind of.
They don't really do it, but it's just like, I don't know. You don't need to watch it. It's not that good.
So they do end up together. I just read it. Spoilers. Okay.
Oh, well.
Yeah, sort of, but they don't, like, bang.
They start dating. Well, they don't need to... Nick, not everyone needs to bang.
That's the only thing that matters, though.
Okay. Moving on.
Death March. We all dropped it because it's shit.
So you gave Citrus a 4 out of 10. We all dropped Death March.
Yeah,
I didn't even watch Death
A generous
March.
4.
I didn't even watch that. I didn't even bother.
Yeah, you know, it's a
just like another Trapped in the World BS. Like,
we got the new Sword Art Online coming out. We'll watch that if we want Isekai. All right,
there you go.
Karakai Jozu no Takagi-san, the next anime.
I didn't care for this.
I put that on hold because
this is another one.
I really liked
Nick
it.
Nick was like all about like, it in the beginning.
I for the episodes that I was watching, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's the same thing. It's basically the same premise for 12 episodes. It's Takagi teasing
yeah,
the boy.
I kind of figured.
It's just like for fun. Yeah,
there's
for
not
fun
a lot to say about it. It's cute. you'll watch it, enjoy it, you know, maybe try to aim at Takagi's forehead with that nut, and then oh, then you'll move gosh. On because there's not a lot to the show, you know. It's fine. I don't know.
It's all right.
I like her.
I put it on hold because I feel like this is another show that I would want to take my time on and probably just binge the whole thing.
I wouldn't even suggest that. It's not a bingeable show.
And just like a lot of this season is like this show to me. Just kind of underwhelming, whatever. Slice of life comedy.
Yeah, a lot of slice of life.
Slice of life. Sounded like you said lice of
Rei
life.
Takahashi, anyway. Though, voicing Takagi, that was awesome. So if you're going to watch it, I would suggest watching the sub.
This show and the next two that we're talking about just was like, I don't know.
So Yuru Camp. Well, the next two. Okay. Hold up, Sam. Whatever. I'll get to that. Yuru Camp. C-Station. Slice of life. Comedy. Did Nanny watch it? Am I the only one?
Yuri can't. I put it on hold.
Okay. This is another show that you probably don't want to binge. Slice of life. Just watch one episode a day and you're good. Cute girls camping. Except a couple of the characters are ugly as fuck. Like, I don't get that. I think I mentioned that earlier, but like.
Damn, dude. Jeez.
Oh my God. It's like they took all of their cute design, put it into a few characters. And then they're just like, let's make this one character as ugly as we possibly can, you know, because we used
What's
up all
problem,
of our talent.
Dude, like,
trust me.
They all seem pretty cute to me.
No, the main characters look good. There's a couple of side characters who look derpy and like literally retarded. And okay. What the fuck? But yeah, I mean, Aoi and Nadeshiko, they're super cute. And Chiaki, they're super cute. But like. I don't even know their names. There's a couple. It's like, maybe it's Akari. I don't know. No. Okay. Anyway, don't even know her name. But yeah, like the only ones that matter are like Nadeshiko, Aoi, and Chiaki. Like those are the three main ones. They go around the camp. They have fun. It's a nice show. It's fun. It's Iyashike. So it's like calming and healing.
Calming and healing.
I wouldn't put it in like any of the top tier of that category, but it's pretty high. I gave it a 6. You know, it's just nice, but that's about it. They camp, they teach you how to camp, they have fun, they get calmed. there's not a lot to analyze here, so
that's all right. I'm sure people enjoyed it.
And then, so what do you give it, Nick? I mean,
I already told you I gave it 6. Takagi, I gave like a 5.5.
5.5. So fucking funny. When
strong
you do that.
5, light 6.
Yeah, I give it a 5.75.
Our user poll gave it 11%.
Yeah, I mean it's a
there
fine.
There you go.
Oh yeah, we have our user poll that we. Posted up online at the time of this recording, so we're not gonna have everybody's votes in yet, but so far Sam, the show that you hated on, is really far in the lead. We have the next show we'll talk about, Soriori Moi Toi Basho. I keep mixing this up. It's not in this corner of the universe. It's a place further than the universe.
A place further than the universe, yep. I'm not hating.
The Antarctica Girls show.
I ain't hating.
It was pretty enjoyable.
I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was really good. I just, like, it's not my cup of the anime. It is. Like, the genre is not my cup of my cup of Joe. So I didn't, you know, feel to rate it as high as everyone else did.
Did you guys actually finish this?
Yes.
I finished it, yeah.
Okay, so it's good enough to finish then.
The last episode was really touching. Like, it was very sentimental.
Pretty much every episode was.
And obviously the main point of it was like the connection they all made together doing this really epic, crazy thing, you know. Animation was top.
Yeah, like they're in high, they're in one. First of all, they're in high school.
Yeah.
And like they decide, oh, we're gonna go to Antarctica. What? Okay.
Right.
So.
And
I thought it was
fucking really penguins good. And shit, dude.
Yeah, it was so funny. I forget. I can't. No, I don't know the main character's name. The girl with the long black hair.
Shirase.
Her mom. Yeah. Shit. Whenever she saw a penguin, she's all like, penguin. Like she just like freaked out. I thought that was the most cute thing ever.
I thought Hinata's mom in the beginning was pretty funny because she was like,
yeah, mm-hmm.
But
out of all of them, Hinata was my favorite character out of all four of them. Out of all four of the girls,
yeah, the opai girl.
Mm-hmm. She's adorable.
Yeah, she was funny. She's like the Ritsu of the group, basically. They're like Kaon archetypes.
They're all Kaon girls.
A little bit.
I would say if you like Kaon, though, you'll love this show. That's for sure.
Yeah,
I do love Kaon.
Yeah,
sure.
Definitely.
It's not as good as Kaon, in my opinion.
I probably love Kaon more just because.
Oh yeah.
Because it is like musical, and I.
No,
love
the thing about this is like. The Antarctica Girls show is like every episode just has like this climax. Every single episode, there's like there's 12, 13 episodes. So like all of them are just trying to reach these peaks, and it gets to be a little bit much at times for me personally. I like when they spaced out a little bit. I didn't have a problem with the episodes themselves. It's just like too much of a good thing or whatever. So
yeah, they're trying to hit you on the feels like every, you know.
Yeah, and it's still a really great show. Like I gave it a 7, #7/10.
Yeah, I gave the show a 7. As
I
well.
Also gave it a 7.
And I think we all
seven.
Like it felt the characters felt pretty real too. Like they had, you know, their own misgivings and stuff.
Yeah, they had real. They had real problems. They had real problems that everyone can relate to.
She has issues.
It was really like the main three girls with, was it Yuzuki tagging along, the model girl.
Mm.
And like Shirase is trying to find her, the place where her mother died in Antarctica. That's like kind of the point. And they're going there and they're on this journey and all these touching moments happen and everything. And then like episode, I think it's like 12. I don't want to spoil what happens, but like the end of that episode was like probably the peak for me of the show where like they find the thing. I don't want to say what it is, that was like really, really good. Really, really well done.
Yeah. That was very tearful climactic.
And if I weren't sick, I might have teared up, but if I weren't sick,
no tear Nick is still here.
Yeah, no, when I'm sick, I like can't feel.
I can't feel anything.
It's true. I just feel fucking dead.
I also can't feel emotions.
It's true. Like I was watching this. I'm like, well, this is supposed to be sad, you know, bittersweet and all that. And I'm just like, well, I'm fucking sick though. So.
Right.
It's a really great show. Like if you like slice of life, like drama type stuff, then check this one out. It's like it has a lot of really positive themes to it. The girls have a great friendship. They do a journey. They live instead of like, you know, just doing the same mundane things.
Right.
You know, they take a chance. It's great. So great soundtrack. Great OP ED.
Yeah, the OP I really enjoyed.
OP is good.
Yeah,
OP is good. Animation's really good. I love the animation and the style a lot, actually. Like, the shininess to, like, the characters and stuff.
It's
so shiny.
It is shiny.
When I got on her hair in the sunlight, it's so shiny. That's what my mom says. It's so shiny. I love it. She's so Mexican. Anyway, Place Further in the Universe, you guys should watch it. It's great. Actually, I think a lot of people on our Discord were watching it, so.
Well, everybody's watching it. Like, everybody who's anybody watched
anybody
that
who's
show.
Anybody is obviously a weeb. Anyway,
it's the front runner in our poll right now, 26% of the votes. So killing it.
I mean, I don't blame it. I don't blame that. I don't have any opposition to that. I mean, that makes sense. Okay. So I think the next show only Nick watched because
yeah, Pop Team Epic, baby. Woo! So, like,
it's a meme show. So, I mean,
it's purely perfect. A meme show with, like, meta humor and, like, these shitty little girls going around doing random shit. And, okay, look, I'm sick. I'm not going to remember any details right now, but I know a lot of the skits were, like, the funniest fucking shit I've ever seen. And then a lot of them were, like, what the fuck did I just watch? Like, so it's kind of a hit or miss with Pop Team Epic. But the peaks are so fucking funny that I love it. Like, I'll just go rewatch some of my favorite episodes. Like the one with the Marilyn Monroe scene, or the one where the real life guys are doing the animation.
Wait, there's a Marilyn Monroe scene?
Oh yeah, I'll link you that later. It's fucking.
There's a lot of pop culture reference in it. I think, right? So yeah.
Oh yeah, the pop culture and anime and all that.
They go everywhere. The show goes everywhere. Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
This is literally like the guy who wrote this or the people who wrote this were like, hey, what if we do one where it's about one of them being a witch and the other one's like a knight and they fight pieces of poop or something. And they're just like, okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like they just, it's an absurdist comedy. So that's why it's like, it doesn't
have
any boundaries.
Yeah, it's totally ridiculous. There's like a part where the short girl, I always mix them up. Popoko. She's like, she sees this clock that's about to strike and she's like, you're about to die, but it's like it's not gonna strike for another like hour or 10 hours or something, so she's just hovering there with a hammer over it like the next time it's gonna strike. It's like so ridiculous. And there's like another one where they go on this like racing thing and they get busted for performance enhancing drugs, which was like basically they were just mechs. It was like the funniest shit. But yeah,
it's like on the kind of comedy is like if you've ever seen Tim and Eric, awesome show, great job or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like that,
and the change in animation styles too. Like they constantly change styles, and I love when they like zoom in on the girls, and like they get the like super detailed faces, kind of like Golden Boy style.
Yeah,
like,
Golden Boy.
Their
yeah.
hands are like the most like veiny things ever, and they're like clenching fists and like flicking
it's like
you off and stuff.
They do that in SpongeBob too.
Yeah. It's the same idea as that. It's fucking hilarious. I think yeah, it's like the show. It has a lot of misses, but it had the hits. You're gonna remember them. Like it's fucking hilarious.
Based on a 4-coma manga.
So what did you rate it?
10 out of 10.
I don't know. I gave it a 6, but you know what? Fuck that. Bumping it to a 7. Whoa. Bumping it to a 7 right now. Woo!
Oh, holy shit. That's a lot.
Wow.
That's basically a 10 for Nick.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the like a lot of the show is like a 5, but then you get these 10 out of 10 moments that it's like, "Oh, so good." Fuck it. I'm going to rate it on the good parts, not the bad parts.
Pop Team Epic. Give it a watch if you just want to.
I'm gonna go grab some water if you guys want to start the next one.
You go ahead, my sick friend. Poor Nick. Okay. Next we have Koi wa Amagiri no Yoni, or After the Rain. By Wit Studio, 12 episodes based on a manga. It is a romance and a seinen. And I think Nick sure is talking a lot for being sick, yeah? I feel like this is, I'm getting a chance to talk here. I think at the beginning when we did our first impressions or whatever, we were kind of like talking about the relationship between a guy who's
a lot older than
he's 45 and she's 17.
Yeah.
Cause she's like a senior, right? Or about to be a senior. I don't know.
She's a sophomore, I believe. She's in her second year, I think.
Oh, okay. So...
yeah, she's in her second year.
So, it's a romance between these two, and it's not very long into the anime. It's like 3-4 episodes in where she finally, like, tells him, hey.
Yeah.
You know, it's not very... yeah. And the rest of the anime is about...
She confess- She confessed to him very early into the show.
Yeah. So then the rest of the anime is about how they deal with it. And that's kind of what I was hoping it was going to be. Because when the first episode came out, I was like, well, I hope it doesn't, like, it gets to, like, episode 10 and then she says something and then we're not going to know how it ends up. Some BS, you know what I mean? I thought the first, like, 10 episodes were going to be just, like, a whole blue ball marathon of just, like...
Like, is she going to tell him, you know, like, all her struggles of, like, having this crush on Mr. Kondo, so...
Yeah, I just, like, didn't want it to be a show where it spent the first 3/4 of the show just watching this poor girl struggle with a feeling.
So
here's the next thing I'm going to say, okay? You cannot, regardless of age or gender or... gender identity or sex or whatever, you cannot help how you feel about a person when you have feelings for them. Mm-hmm. So that being said, obviously I did feel a bit uncomfortable beginning the show, like starting the show, when this 17-year-old girl has feelings for this guy and that he may or may not have feelings for her because, you know, he's this lonely guy. He's a single father with a kid and, all he does is run this restaurant. He's the manager of this restaurant.
He's the manager.
And she works there.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
The way they approached it, though, was so innocent. And it was so just, like, chill. They didn't try to force anything gross or weird. And I did not feel uncomfortable watching the rest of the show.
I didn't either. Like, every time I was watching it, I had such a grin every time, like, a silly, funny moment came on and everything like that.
Right.
It was so well written, and I really enjoyed how, like, they didn't make it creepy either. Like, how, you know, how, like, Tachibana confessed her feelings to Kondo, and, you know, right off the bat, like, they didn't make it into him, like, okay, let's date. Let's start dating. Like, no, they did, like, his character was all like, no, we can't. Like, the age difference and everything like that.
Yeah, he was very...
But they continued...
He tried to handle it very proper, like...
Yeah, yeah. So, and, like, but they kept, like, hanging out and stuff, which I thought was pretty cute, because it's all like, okay, like, we need to know, like, how this is going to end and everything like that. So, when he got sick and she went over there to, like, take care, like, to check up on him and everything. And like, that was, like, the climax of, like, how she really felt about him and everything like that. And then, like, when he hugged her and stuff, that was just, like, oh.
Yeah, like, you couldn't help but feel like, okay, it's kind of, like.
Yeah. But at the same time, we're all like, oh, no, like, are they gonna, are they gonna form a relationship now, like a romantic relationship? But then at the end of that episode, he's all like, that hug was a friend. That hug was just a friend.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really cute. And I just love, like, I didn't expect, like, I knew Kondo was interested in, like, reading books and everything like that, because, like, when Tachibana was doing that summer homework or something like that, he, like, got excited on the book that she was reading and everything. And I didn't expect him to, like, be a writer, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and I thought that was pretty interesting. And I also enjoyed how the show didn't really have their main focus on just the two of them. They dealt with other problems, like how Tachibana has her, like, she's losing connection towards her best friend, and Kondo is reuniting with his best friend from college and stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool.
They did a really good job of kind of building, like, their issues outside of each other, like the character building.
Yeah.
Like, she used to run track and then she got hurt and then all that stuff, you know what I mean? And like I said, they mostly focused on, like, the feelings they had for each other and not necessarily the romantic relationship that they could have or could not have had. And I think that's why it was so good. Now, obviously, I personally don't, I don't have an opinion on relationships like that.
Right.
Because, first of all, it's none of my business.
Yeah.
Second of all, even if I did have an opinion on it, in the end, that's not something that I can't control other people to. Like, you know, I can have an opinion on it, but it's, you know what I mean?
But that's it. You can only have an opinion. Like,
right,
it's not like...
right. In terms of, like, as far as the law goes, that's the law, and you do whatever. But in Japan, it's very different, obviously. The culture is very different. And I'm glad that they didn't take this into, like, a freaking...
a creepy-ass moment.
Because they could have. They very well could have taken it to, like, a etchy, creepy, lolly kind of thing. And they didn't. They just, it was very innocent, and it was very, no, we're not focusing on the romantic relationship that they can physically have. We're focusing on the relationship they have and the feelings they have for each other. And I think that's what made it very,
and dealing with their own, like, goals in life and stuff like that. Because
it's not about their feelings for each other. It's about their feelings for their other parts of their lives. They're kind of both using each other to help them boost forward.
Yeah.
Right. Boost their confidence. And then, like, maybe, you know, Tachibana could, you know, in her senior year, she could try it for track again.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Kondo.
Because she went to the doctor, and the doctor said that her injury was fully healed and everything. And he was wondering if she was going to go into rehab so that she can do track again. But she said no.
So. Right, maybe she's like...
yeah, they're both just, like, coming to terms with it.
Right, and she's like growing up, kind of, and...
yeah.
It's kind of coming of age in that way.
Yeah. Okay. So Akira is coming to terms with track and field, and then Kondo is coming to terms with trying to be a writer, a manager, father, that type of stuff. So, like, they're both, you know, befriending each other and learning from that. They're not actually in any kind of romance, so...
I loved it. Yeah. Like, the whole show as a whole, I enjoyed it so much. I think this, but aside from, you know, Cardcaptor Sakura and Yamamushu Petal, this show is one of my favorites.
For sure.
I love the opening. The opening and the ending are, themes are
man.
So good.
I love the opening so much.
I love the opening song so much. I had to look it up, and I found it on Spotify, so it's on my playlist, and I listened to
it. Oh, man. I forgot to mention the Pop Team Epic opening. Fucking fire. All right, sorry. I just interrupted you guys, but...
Well, anyway, after the rain, I give it an 8, just because I had that much enjoyment out of it.
I'm surprised that this has a low MAL score. It's only a 7.7. It's not low, but it's higher than average.
People might be jumping the gun on it. They probably watched the first 3 or 4 episodes. Yeah. And it's like, oh, it's a pedo shit. It's like, no,
okay, stop. Stop using the word pedo. She's not a little kid. Like,
well, I'm just saying what other people may have
thought.
Yeah,
other people
would
say
that. I'm not saying that, so you shut up.
I know. Well, you said it.
Okay, so go cop somewhere else.
All right. Okay, so I think we all dropped Kokoku, Grand Krasenki, Beatless, Fate Last Encore.
We did.
Look, they're all, you know, some of them are worth watching. Kokoku had a really cool OP, but I couldn't really get into it. Cool character designs. I don't know. Grand Krasenki, not really into it. Beatless, bad. Fate Last Encore, bad fate.
Bad.
All right.
Beatless was god.
Hakata Tokotsu Ramens, Studio Satellite.
I'm following the dub for this.
It's actually really good.
It's really good. Yeah, I really like it.
Yeah,
Son,
a solid
5.5. Give this a shot. You should give this a shot. At least, like, if you can't really get in, because when I first started watching it and I started watching the sub, I wasn't really feeling it too much. But then once the dub came out, I started watching the dub and I started liking it a lot better. So. Some, I feel like if you're, like, iffy about it, try the dub.
Yeah, that was a good dub. I watched most of it dubbed, the other part subbed.
Yeah. I like it. I really enjoy it. It's pretty awesome.
Kind of, it's like a different version of Kekkai Sensen, not as wacky, not as supernatural.
Yeah.
Supernatural. It's like a realistic version.
It's zero supernatural, it's all action.
Yeah. And then, you know, they go through these, you know, the assassin action plots. I mean, it's not like anything that's going to blow your mind, but it's fun. It's like these group of characters, you learn, like, the backstory of the main guy, and at the end he's, like, the climax is fighting against his childhood friend who trained to be an assassin with him. So then they play baseball, and it's like
yeah, those scenes were pretty fun with the baseball scenes. Yeah, and Bamba just gets so mad when something happens. He's so like, come on, what is this crap?
Lin, he's like this top tier assassin, but he doesn't know how to fucking play baseball, and it's funny.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
That's Jin Mingling. That's what he meant to say.
Yeah, Jing Ming Ling. Anyway.
Yeah.
Lin. Yeah. Chinese.
Chinese.
I hope that's Chinese. If not, then...
That is Chinese. Us.
It is Chinese. Yeah. Yeah, it is Chinese. He is from China.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a good show. The OP and ED for this show are really good, too. Like, these were top three of the season for me in both categories. I would put the OP a little bit just below Pop Team Epic as my number one. But other than that, yeah.
Wow.
So,
if you're telling me to watch it, I'll give it another watch.
Yeah, you should give it a watch.
It's a fun show. It's not like the best thing ever. Like, don't expect 10 out of 10 or anything. It's like, it's a solid, like, good out of 10. You know?
Or in Nick's terms, don't expect 7 out of 7.
Yeah.
7 out of 10.
Hashtag 6 out of 10. 5 out of 10.
Hashtag 6 out of 10.
So, Killing Bites, did you watch any of this?
Yeah, I watched, like, the first four episodes, and then I kind of just dropped it because I just wasn't.
The fuck, Sam? It's got fur face Johnsons everywhere. It's not
fur face Johnson.
Not on their face.
I wanted to watch other stuff, and I fell really behind on other stuff, so I just kind of.
Honestly, you would kind of like this, I think.
Badger face Johnson, though, is. I mean, she's.
Yeah, dude, she's hot as fuck. Like, all the girls are hot. The thing is, like.
Ui is my favorite, though. She's.
Okay. Jesus fucking Christ, Mel. Okay. Ui, who do you mean?
Inaba, the bun.
All right, say what animal they are, Sam. Nobody.
I said the bun bun, the bun bun.
I'm just kidding.
The bunny frou frou, pink haired girl.
Yeah, she's really funny.
She's hilarious.
Yeah, Killing Bites. Like we mentioned it earlier, I picked it up mid season. It's just a battle royale show. It's got a little bit of ecchi, got a little bit of nip, episode one.
It's Junie Tyson, except funny.
Yeah. that's a more enjoyable Junie Tyson to me. Like, it's, look, it's
honestly,
super
yeah.
fucking simple. It's
and
really simple
the,
show.
Then there's the dog face Johnson girl. She's like.
Wait, which one? Like, Cheetah?
No, she's a side character. But like,
God damn it, Simon. You and your obsession with these side characters.
Hey. Sansa, the cat police, is the best character of My Hero Academia.
Oh, my God.
The cat-faced Johnson. But he's a cop.
That is, like, literally a cat face.
He is a cat. Look it up. Sansa, My Hero Academia. No, dude, but, yeah, Badger-faced Johnson. I just love the main character's a badger. It's not like a, you know, some crazy animal. Like, the main character is not, like, you know, a tiger or a... Or a lioness.
She's a badger.
She's a fucking badger. Because badgers, like, all the memes about the honey badger thing aside, badgers legit are fierce as fuck. They don't care about anything except eating and sleeping.
Yeah, that's true.
I watched, like, a documentary that wasn't the meme, like, an actual little thing on YouTube where a badger got bit by, like, a venomous snake, and it just pretended to die, and then it actually fell asleep for, like, 5 hours.
Yeah.
Instead of dying, because it's that strong.
Yeah.
And then they're fucking badgers, dude. They don't give a shit. about anything. Like,
dude, I just like how in the tournament, Hitomi the Badger faced Johnson. She, oh my god, I can't even finish the sentence. She controls the main character Yuya Nomoto. He's the like the guy sitting in the room making all the game moves.
Yeah.
She like gives him hand gestures because like he's too stupid to do it himself, and like I don't know, like the ending of the show is great. They fight this ultra overpowered beast guy. Fuck, what are they called? So the tournament's called the Destroyal, and then the beasts are called
Hybrids, I think.
They're called something else. Fuck,
they got a different name for them.
There's a name for them. I forgot. Anyway, it's a simple show. We don't really need to get into it.
Yeah,
I love how that. I love how Tomi always says in like every episode without fail, the one with the sharpest fangs wins. it's like the best meme. Yeah, yeah. And then the ending of the season happens, and you get it's like fuck. I'm hyped for season two. I want season two to be announced and to happen, please.
Oh shit! There's gonna be a season two.
I don't know if there will be, but I hope there will be. It's awesome. So yeah, be Killing Bites. We spent way too much time on it. Fun show. Next on the docket, Ryu no Oshigoto. I did not watch that one.
I didn't watch it either.
Neither did I.
Degashikashi 2, I'm halfway through it. I was sick and I wasn't able to finish that one.
It's just Degashikashi, but
yeah,
it's shorter.
It's good. Shorter. Better way to do it.
Yeah.
Actually, if Takagi-san, the show, would have been a 12-minute episode like this, that would have been a better show. Because that didn't
I probably would have watched it more.
That didn't. Yeah, that one didn't need 24-minute episodes, I don't think.
For what it was.
If
yeah.
they would have just cut out the side cast of that show and put it as 12-minute episodes, it would be a lot better. So, Cardcaptor Sakura, Danny's watching it. If you
hell
like.
Yeah, and it's so fucking cute.
Yeah, if you like Cardcaptor, you know.
I put it on hold. I love Cardcaptors, and I'm putting it.
Oh, you got
it. I put it on hold
it.
Because I wanted
it
to.
It's so good.
Yeah, I wanted it to go through, and then.
It's so good.
But yeah.
So good. So good. Watch it.
I will. I'll watch it.
Sakura is the best.
I just figured it might be better when it was done than I could just.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In all honesty, I'm most likely going to watch it again. Like, binge it. Instead of waiting, like, week to week.
Nice.
Faux show.
So, yeah.
Next on the docket, we have the Itō Junji collection, which I actually dropped because I just didn't have time. Did you finish it, Danny?
I didn't finish it.
I'm not caught up.
I put it on hold.
With it, I'm still kind of watching it, but I'm like I want to get kind of more of the important ones out of the way, and then I'll go and finish it.
Dude, it's a little underwhelming.
So.
Yeah, it's
I'm
pretty
not gonna
bad.
Lie to you.
The thing there's a Reddit post above a YouTube video. We'll link it in the show notes. I forgot the YouTuber who did it, so we'll just put a link in the show notes. It's like this scathing criticism of the Itō Junji collection and like why it's bad and like, you know, why the hell
it's
are they making bad anime?
It's definitely a different experience when you're reading it. It definitely is way different.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean. And for
Super Eye Patch Wolf. There we go. We'll link that in the show notes.
Yep. That's the video.
It's like
I
an 18-minute video, and it's like
I agree.
The Itō Junji collection is disappointing garbage.
Well, I wouldn't say.
That's the title of the video. It's YouTube,
I know.
So.
Yeah.
It's a tad disappointing.
It depends
you know,
what you're looking
some,
for. Yeah.
Yeah, there are some like short stories that were pretty good and stuff. Like, I enjoyed The Puppet Master. What else? I enjoyed the model short story was pretty good. I didn't really particularly care for the Voodoo Kid. I didn't really like that was the first episode. They could have gone a different route with him. So, but I know there's a Tomoe episode, so I kind of want to see that. And I think in spring they're gonna do an OVA for Tomoe. I believe. I think.
Is that the one where she got the long black hair and...
Yeah.
She seduces people?
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, where did I see it? I know I saw it. Or maybe it's a special. Oh, it's a special.
That girl is poison.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a special.
Well, anyway, we should move on. Ito Junji Collection. Disappointing garbage.
Gakko and Babysitters. Ooh,
oh, my God. Gakko and Babysitters.
Gakko and Babysitters. I love this
school
show.
Babysitters.
Man,
the show was fucking great. I finished it. I finished it today.
Fucking amazing. Oh, my God. This show, okay, aside from After the Rain, I loved this show, and this one is my highest ranking. I ranked this on 9.
Nice.
Because I just love this fucking show. The babies are so fucking cute. Like, I love Kotaro. I love him so much.
The way he nods. Every time,
yeah,
he's
just
like,
the way that he deals with things, and when like something like unexpected happens, he like freaks out and stuff, and like he makes like these little cute expressions, like ooh,
yeah,
like, it's so.
I love when he was on the phone with Taka, the other baby, the loud baby, and he had the phone like pressed against his face, his forehead.
Oh yes,
and they heard a clunk, and it's like, yeah, he heard it. He hit his forehead on the phone when he nodded. Oh my God.
Oh, I love this show. This show is
If
so
this
good.
Show doesn't increase Japan's birth rate, I don't know what will. It's like diabetes.
I don't know.
Diabetes.
It's so I love it. I love it so
I will
much.
Say there was one episode I didn't really care for. It was like episode 5 or 6. It was just kind of like these two random kids that got stuck in a bush. Do you remember that one? Anyway, that was like the weakest episode, but other than that, like pretty much every episode was really good. So,
I think my favorite episode was when Usaida-san was sick, and the butler, I forget his name.
Oh yeah! Oh my God, that was a good one.
Yeah, and like. He was like filling in and stuff, and when the baby, like the littlest
Saikawa.
One, I forgot her name.
Kieran, the girl.
The other girl. Little baby, like the baby, like the one that can't speak.
Midori.
Yeah, when she like pooped her diaper, and the butler forgot like how. Like he didn't know how to change his diaper, so he called Usaida-san. But then, he was, like, telling him, like, oh, we have an emergency with Midori and everything like that, blah, blah, blah. But then all of a sudden his phone, like, fell in water and, like,
got cut off. Midori, she smacked his hand. She smacked the phone out of his hand.
Yeah, she smacked the phone, but, like, on Usaida-san's side, like, he didn't know what was going on. So, the line just got cut, and he, like, got so worried. So he, like, went all the way over back to the school just to make sure that the kids were okay. It was so freaking funny. I loved that episode so much.
Yeah, I liked the festival episode.
Yeah, the festival episode was pretty good. I liked when...
Taka lost his sword.
When Ryuichi was... Yeah, that one. And I liked when Ryuichi was dressed up as a corn on the cob.
Oh, yeah.
In episode 10.
They were
10,
just, like, rolling him over and over.
When the parents were coming and, like, the kids were showing, like, how well they can balance a cup of juice and, like, to give them to their parents and stuff. So,
yeah.
That was
it's
really
the,
cute.
It's the most diabetes it. Show in quite some time.
But in a good way.
In a good way, yeah.
This is like my biggest surprise of the season. I didn't expect to give a shit about it, but it's like one of my favorites. So, really
it's
good.
So good. I kind of want to read the manga because the manga is still going on.
The manga is 17 volumes in.
Yeah.
According to.
I want
to
read it. I want.
According
read
to
it.
Trisha, who read on Wikipedia.
Good to know. Thanks, Trisha.
I also liked when Kotaro becomes the little chicks, the little yellow chickens.
Oh yeah, the little chicks.
He becomes their mother because
like
they imprint on him.
And And Taka gets mad, like, oh, like, why is Kotaro hogging all the chicks?
So, like, a cat shows up, and Kotaro's about to shield it with his head. And
oh,
it was, like,
yeah,
the cutest thing
yeah.
ever.
I love God him. Damn. He's so fucking adorable.
It's my Discord avatar. I'm going to have to say goodbye. Once I'm going to have to pick somebody from the new season soon, so.
No, don't. Why?
That's my thing now.
Kotaro's best baby.
He really is. Like, I honestly, all the babies are really good. I like Kieran.
All the babies are adorable. I love them all equally, but, I mean, Kotaro, come on. Like, his expressions, you can't go wrong
with his expressions. He's just like this deadpan. He's always, like, offering lemon juice because he thinks that will cure everything.
Yeah, for a sickness. because it worked on, he worked so hard squeezing the lemon juice for his brother when he was sick.
Yeah.
I love the headmistress, though. Like, I thought she was a really good asset to the whole entire show.
Yeah, she was kind of like the tsundere.
Yeah, she was pretty awesome. All the characters, like, honestly, all, like, the characters that were in the show were really lovable. Like, you can honestly love all the characters.
Yeah,
the
like
show.
The bookworm girl, the other girl.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
Oh, that was
another episode. The show had a lot of tsundere's in it, actually.
With the girl who had a crush on Ryuichi, but, like, she was kind of, like, she had, like, a little bit of anxiety when it came to children and stuff.
Yeah.
And when Kieran, like, started touching her boobs, she's like, oh, you have boobies like my mommy. and all the kids were all like, I want to touch her boobs. And she's all like, what? No. That was a great episode, too.
Could probably go on about the show for a while.
Yeah, save it for the Babysitter's podcast, Danny.
<That's>...
I'm sorry, but I love this show so much.
So what do we all rate it? I gave it, anyway. I couldn't decide. I gave it
a 9.
I gave it a 6. I could give it a 7, you know, but maybe I will.
No, it deserves a 9. It's a 9 for sure.
No, I know. It's really,
it's a 9 for me.
It's good. I mean, I don't know. I'll think about it.
It's a 9.
So, like, that's pretty much the end. There's a lot of other, like, miscellaneous shows. I thought it was funny how Marchin Madchen literally got canceled mid-season because the production was so bad.
Really?
Wow.
Like,
wow, I didn't even
know.
You've
seen Shirobako, there's, like, the Jiggly Jiggly Heaven meme, like, with the
Shitty
really
Taco.
Yeah, so, like, the Jiggly Jiggly Heaven Shirobako meme where, like, the production was so hellish and bad and, like, it turned out to be this terrible anime that everybody makes fun of. That's kind of what Marchin Madchen in real life turned out to be.
That sucks.
Wow.
Which it had like a lot of promise too, but it's just they couldn't get it done. Another. So like I dropped Mitsuboshi Colors, which is really fucking strange for me because this show had the cutest character designs and some great jokes, but I couldn't get over the animation. Like, it was so sparse. They barely animated anything in the show. And it finally got to me in like episode 4 or 5. I'm like, man, they're not even animating anything. So I guess I'm just done. Like, they had so many stills and budget cuts. Maybe it was just that one episode and maybe it gets better. But I mean, there's like little clips of Mitsuboshi Colors online. And it's a funny show. So I don't know. Yeah. But, yeah, other than that, like, we're pretty much, you know, toward the end. Yamushi Petal, Danny's watching. Ongoing stuff, though. We all finished Ancient Magus Bride. That finished this season.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I finished that. That was
skipped
so good.
A bunch
the
of
ending
stuff.
Was really great.
Yes, I cried.
I mean, I didn't cry. I really felt... I had, like, a lot of feelings for the ending, but it didn't, unfortunately, it didn't really make me cry like I thought it was going to.
Well, I didn't really cry that much at that part.
Yeah.
I cried at the part where Chise goes up to the climax, where she goes up to I forgot his name.
Mm.
Joseph.
The evil
and
guy.
Yeah.
She basically has this plan to bind him to her, you know.
Right.
But anyway, she's got to put him to sleep first. So she sings him to sleep, and then she says this thing. She says, "It really hurts when no one understands you." And it's there's been this whole kind of conversation between them too in the last few episodes of like, oh, just because you think you're suffering more and things you think you can be selfish with this and that, when really you have this, you have that. And it became a game of like, oh, well, I have to do this, or oh, well, I have to go through this. And it got a little too relatable to me right there. And I just kind of like got really upset. And then when Chise said that, I was like, okay. I was like, it's okay to not be okay. And it's okay to have this and have that. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't try and find a way to move on, you know, just like Chise did with her when she saw her mom at the end, you know, and right. She was like, I'm not going to forgive you, but I'm going to move on because I have things to do.
Like, yeah, it's like, I got shit to do, man. Right. Like, I can't be worrying about, like, you and my past and shit like
right,
that.
Right,
get out of my head.
It was kind of what I concluded with this kind of with this show. I think there was a lot of parts that were kind of like, that didn't really need to happen, whatever.
Yeah, they had like a lot of side quest type stuff.
There was
going
a lot
on.
Of side, yeah, weird side shit that they didn't need to do. But
I like lost track of which characters were which. To be fair, I put it on hold for quite a while, so yeah.
I fell behind on this one quite a while too. But the thing is that I love about it, other than the Catface Johnson episode, where they were in the Kingdom of Cats.
Yeah,
and
that one was. Yeah.
And Elias goes into like the shadow, and the gray cat that looks like Smokey was like pawing at it, like playing with it. I laughed so fucking hard I had to pause it. Anyway, fucking Smokey. He was just like pawing at it. He's like, God damn it, dude. Anyway, but like, it was really cool because all the characters, and the character building was done pretty well for how quick they tried to do each character. The side characters really, but right. Like it was done pretty okay, and you kind of there was a little bit about each one of them that had some kind of crazy past and how they got there and how they were carrying that past to go forward while Chise is still remembering all the horrible things, and so was Joseph, and she kind of learned a little bit from everybody, and she says that at the end, which was kind of cool. She's like, so much has happened in the year I've been here, but I've got to see so many people and talk to so many people, and now I want to do this with you. And it was like, okay, well, that's perfect. That's a perfect ending. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved it.
I really enjoyed it. I thought, in a way, it kind of reminded me of Full Metal Alchemist.
Well, it's because of the setting.
Well, I wouldn't say that per se. Yeah, it had like its alchemy theme and like magic and shit like that. But overall, just the fact that like Chise had a tragic childhood and Ed and Al had a tragic childhood because they lost their mom. You know, I mean, they lost their mom and they tried to like rise her from the dead with alchemy and everything like that. But like Chise didn't really do that. She just had she like dealt with these creatures that she can only see because she has special powers within her that she didn't know how to control and everything. So the fact that Elias is helping her control that and everything, I can relate to this show more than I can with Full Metal.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Sure. So, well, that makes sense because the main character is a girl and it's Chise and it's like specifically focused on her, so that makes sense.
Do we have any quick mentions before we head out?
I'll just mention that like I wasn't so high on Magus Bride I wasn't as high as you guys were on it. It was just hard for me to get into. I was sick when I watched it, you know, and I couldn't focus that well and whatever. But
honestly, dude, it's a perfect excuse. Like, seriously, because you've been, like, dying for, like, the past 3 weeks. So, like,
yeah. It's all good, man.
I mean, even with that, though, like, it's just, I could never see myself giving the show, like, a super high score. It's just weird. I don't know.
Well, I mean, some people just don't really particularly care for the whole, like, for that particular theme, you know? Like,
no, I mean, I get it.
You do.
It's, I don't know.
It's the same thing with me and characters. Like big robot genre, like mechs and everything, like Gundam Wing and everything like that. Like, I can't. It's hard for me to be interested.
Well,
in
Gundam
that
Wing is a
not
meme
really
anime,
my
but
thing.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, okay. Darling in the Franxx.
That's
like I dropped.
That's
that
not a good example either. But like,
still, regardless, like. Like big mech shows like
Gunbuster.
That, it's not really my thing. I did watch Gunbuster, and I have to say I did enjoy it a little bit. Not as much as I would with a show that with a genre that I normally like, but I still liked Gunbuster for what
yeah.
it was.
Okay. So let's get to the end of it here.
Well, I just want to quickly mention ones that we didn't mention. That's why I was trying to. That's what I was trying to say. I'm not going to talk about them. I'm just going to say.
Oh,
the ones that
I got to no lion, dude. So we gotta.
Sucks.
We all gotta watch that at some point.
I don't want to. Anyway,
it's like basically close to a masterpiece. Well, maybe not, but it's like really, really good. So.
Ramen Daisuke Koizumi-san, I dropped it because it just got boring and really creepy at the end. So I just...
Wow, really? I didn't...
Oh,
I
heard that.
Hold,
I heard there's like some
so
yandere shit going on.
Dude, the character gets so obsessed with this with Koizumi, and it's just like, dude, that's weird. You're weird. Like, relax. Like, Sanrio Danchi is like nothing special, but I just love it because it's Sanrio. Obviously, you know me and Trisha love Sanrio stuff.
I have to finish that one. I have to finish Sanrio.
It's just really cute. Working Buddies. Hello.
I am so far behind in Working Buddies. I'm so sorry, Sam. I know I promised you that we would watch it together because it's fucking Cat-Face Johnson.
Okay, I'll tell you what happens. Nothing.
Nothing. Of course not, because
what's it like actually called on Mel?
Hatsuraku Oni-san, Working Buddies.
What's the
Working
title?
Buddies.
Okay, I can't fucking find it.
Hatsuraku Oni-san.
Oh.
Hatarku.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
All
right.
They have like a different job every episode, and they're just fucking around. The one calico cat's fucking around, and the Russian blue cat, the smoky cat, is just like, bro, I'm trying to work. I'm trying to get my job done. And
oh, man, I have to watch
and, it. And Kaiju Girls, because it's super cute. I love Kaiju stuff, and I love little chibi Kaiju Girls. And then... Dragon Ball Super finished up this season, and I think it's just on hold. I think they're just
they're
going to
keep
break.
Making Dragon Ball. They're going
to. I think they're going to make more. Yeah,
they're going to force. But, was it Toriyama to write until he dies?
There's a Dragon Ball Super movie coming out, and then after that, I don't know. But it was really epic. That's all I'm going to say because I obviously don't really have much else to say about it.
I'll get to
it
once the dub catches up. I'm not gonna. I refuse to watch Dragon Ball subbed. I think that's actually...
The dub is better.
I think it's a travesty to watch it.
But anyway... Oh, and then also one thing I want to mention, but I'm not going to talk about it until we do spring, is Hakyu Hoshin Engi. I think it's called Soul Hunter in English. Yeah, Soul Hunter. This was a reboot or a remake.
5.15 on Mel.
Yeah, it's doing really bad. I watched the first couple episodes, and it's like... it's based on a Chinese folklore. This is a reboot of an anime I used to watch as a kid on VHS that I had. And it just not doing very well. But I'm just mentioning it because, like, why would you reboot something that was already, like, it was okay to begin with and just fucking shit up?
Well, they did that with Magical Circle, and the new one is infinitely better.
That's different.
You're like,
shut up. Shut up, Nick. Okay, anyway, that's all I wanted to say. But anyway, my top for the season is probably, I don't know, Magus Rider After the Rain. Or Gaku and Babysitters, one of those.
Okay, Jesus. What pick, fucking pick something.
I picked those three.
Oh, we're doing three? Okay.
I don't know. I'm just saying that this season was kind of under, I mean, it wasn't
There wasn't like
a lot of holds on a lot of things. So
for a lot of people, the clear one was Soriyori, the Antarctica girls.
It plays further than the universe. Yeah.
And either way, for the between that
and Violet Evergarden, probably the most votes.
Let us know in the comments. Let us know on the Discord. You know where we is. You know where we is. You know what I'm saying. We've been the Anime Summit Podcast. I shouldn't have made Nick do it. That's my fault.